Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Herger. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Siobhan M. Rary, MD, Director of the Telehealth Program at Cancer Treatment Centers of America, to discuss the rapid uptake of telemedicine and virtual healthcare for patients with cancer during the COVID-19 pandemic, and the potential for in-home infusions to further bridge gaps in access to care for patients being treated with chemotherapy. In 2021, CTCA announced that they were partnering with Corum, CVS Health's infusion care business, to deliver in-home chemotherapy infusions to eligible patients. Currently, the pilot program is enrolling Atlanta-based patients with a range of diseases, including breast, lung, prostate, colorectal, head and neck, and some genitourinary cancers, but is planned for expansion to other parts of the United States, Rary explained. In our exclusive interview, Rary discussed how the implementation of telehealth during the COVID-19 pandemic shed light on the need for increased access to care for patients with cancer, as well as the potential benefits in-home infusions could offer to patients receiving chemotherapy. The COVID-19 pandemic certainly presented the field of oncology, as well as the healthcare space overall, with significant challenges in terms of getting patients the treatments they needed. How has the integration of virtual healthcare and telemedicine mitigated some of the challenges associated with COVID-19?
First, thank you so much, Jessica, for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited to share with you, our experience here at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I oversee our telehealth program for the enterprise, and I consider myself sitting between the intersection between clinical care delivery and technology. And really, it's been exciting to be able to bring care to patients when they need it most and how it's beneficial to them. I've been in this space for over a decade in the telehealth space, and so it has been the silver lining, if you will, that we are able to see that telehealth is a powerful tool. And I think the COVID-19 pandemic has shown light on that. It's a powerful patient first. And then quite frankly, it's allowed us to supercharge the American healthcare system. So it has, really propelled us into transforming healthcare delivery and transforming that landscape and allowing for the reimagining of how care is delivered. And that's just been very exciting for me. Before the pandemic, telehealth services were not used significantly in cancer care, but now, as we can appreciate it, it certainly has significant use cases. I think with the proliferation of telehealth appointments during the pandemic, this really changed the approach and the expectations of the patient. It's changed the approach and the expectations of the providers. So providers feel encouraged, so they see this as feasible, and quite frankly, it's really helping to improve better outcomes. During the pandemic, virtual care helped to bridge the gap, allowing us as providers to continue to treat our patients. I always like to say that in the telehealth oncology space, the virtual visit will never replace the in-person care. In-person care is extremely important, including, when a physical exam is needed or when additional labs and imaging or procedures are required. However, it can play a very critical role in augmenting your visits and a critical role in healthcare moving forward. So by that, I mean, and to give it just a few specific examples, is that the virtual health visit within oncology can be a way to quickly assess symptoms, help with symptom management, help manage pain or chronic disease, review imaging or labs, discuss treatment options or treatment concerns. A number of our surgical partners are using telehealth for a pre-op or post-op procedure and discussions. Second opinion consultations can be through telehealth, genetic counseling, clinical enrollment. So you can see that the list is very long and extensive, and there are a lot of use cases within oncology.
Despite the significant negative impact the pandemic has had globally, the rise of telemedicine and potentially increased access to care may be a silver lining to the pandemic. In-home infusions could maybe be another milestone in increasing care for patients amid the pandemic, as well as afterward. What unmet need could in-home infusions really fulfill for patients?
what we saw during the pandemic as practicing physicians who take care of cancer patients, we saw fewer patients, certainly during the peak of the pandemic, just to give you some statistics, we saw a 50% reduction of patient visits, a 50% reduction in infusions. And we can appreciate that with a slight delay in treatment, you know, that might be appropriate for the peak of the pandemic, but when it's delayed for months, it can really impact mortality rate. It can really impact how patients are experiencing the symptoms and survival. So by moving specific certain chemotherapy agents, chemotherapy infusions into the home, it really provided an opportunity to continue that care, continue the necessary treatment in a safe manner.
What patient populations does this service really stand to benefit?
At CTCA, we engage in a partnership program with CVS and with Coram to provide the services, chemotherapy in the home with remote patient monitoring and telehealth oversight with our providers. So it really was an opportunity to extend care beyond the brick and mortar, beyond the four walls, and wrap it around the patient. So eligible patients include those patients with breast cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, just to name a few, head and neck cancers. But mostly it was those patients who met in twofold criteria. They needed to be relatively healthy in order to have that chemotherapy in the home. So the sicker patients, they really do need that high acuity hospital setting. And it's extremely important that when we're developing such a program, we have very specific eligibility criteria. So we make sure that it's safe. Safety is first and paramount. And part of that is making sure that the patient can tolerate it, that the home is appropriate for infusion in the home. And then secondarily, the patients need to make sure that they tolerate the infusion before moving it into the home. So we at least advocate for one, two, a number of infusions to be given in the hospital or an outpatient care center with the eyes, that higher acuity eyes, just in case there's an allergic reaction or there's something that would deem the patient not appropriate to move it to the home. So once they have the infusion and they're deemed appropriate, they tolerate the medication and they're able to move it into the home. It's often the maintenance phase. Then we look to enrolling them into the program.
What criteria have to be met regarding a patient's home to qualify them for in-home infusion?
So a number of things. One, we want the environment to be hygienic. So one, running water. Running water is basic requirement, but it's important. You know, if there were something that needed to be cleaned up or things like that, we want to make sure that the home nurse who's going into the home has access to the appliances. We need to make sure that there's a place where the patient can get the infusion or the injection for that designated amount of time in an isolated place. So where they can sit by themselves, you know, not having any animals, dogs or cats run around, or if there's an area to put the pets in, you know, behind closed doors, that children are also, you know, not in the home when the infusion takes place, or there's an area that they are not there when the patient is receiving that treatment. So that just gives you a general idea. And we want to make sure that the home is safe. We also, from a safety standpoint, that they feel safe, but that the home environment is safe for our nurse going into the home as well.
Have any data been observed showing a marked decline in treatment administration or clinic visits for patients with cancer amid the COVID-19 pandemic? Do you think that in-home infusions could potentially overcome or even rebound this decline?
So I think it's an excellent question. I mean, when we look at the specific data, in a pre-COVID state, we were, let's say, at 94 patients per week, you know, your typical oncologist. At the peak of the pandemic, we were down to about 46 patients per week. Now we've rebounded, so we've seen some improvement, but it has not gone back to a pre-COVID time, where as the oncologists are not seeing as many patients as they did prior to COVID. So about 74 patients per week now, compared to the 94. So we're not at the pre-pandemic level. And again, the care being delayed is a it's a very big problem. We certainly worry about what we call the shadow curve, which is all of the screening that's not happening. Again, treatment being delayed, delayed clinic appointments. And so when the patients do come to the clinic, they have later stage cancer. They have more virulent disease that might be more difficult to treat and, you know, more difficult to manage. So those are all things that we certainly worry. We worry about. As it relates to home infusion and the benefit that that can provide, certainly if the patient qualifies, they're on qualifying medication, the home infusion can simply allow the patient to continue their care within the comfort of their home, within the safety of their home. The cancer patients are already immunocompromised. So to put them in larger and hospital-based environment where, you know, the virus, the COVID-19 virus is more rampant is problematic as well. It absolutely is an opportunity where we can move the appropriate care into the home and benefit the patient.
Now, looking beyond the pandemic, what are the long-term benefits of the collaboration between CVS and CTCA, as well as the more expansive role of in-home infusions overall?
Telehealth has had an enormous impact, an enormous potential to provide access to healthcare. There's no magic bullet for increasing access to healthcare across, you know, many different walks of life, but it certainly is a step in the right direction. With that, we've seen that, you know, this year the pandemic has shown an important light on a number of biases within the healthcare system, whether that's a racial bias or urban versus rural based bias, and allowed us to really appreciate what types of care and considerations need to take place to be able to reach patients where they're at and what considerations are important. So as we are looking at the future of telehealth and where we can move forward, there are a number of lessons that we can take with us. So first and foremost is that consumers want greater control of their healthcare interactions. And so how can we utilize virtual health, digital health management apps? How can we utilize integration and with wearable apps, shorter wait times, you know, all of the conveniences that we've seen with virtual health and really empower the patient? Patient experience matters. You know, we have an elevated patient experience and they want greater personalization. And this is one way that we can help to make that happen. And then a multicultural approach is important and significant, especially in the cancer space, where we can see significant variations in outcomes for populations. So Black American women are 71% more likely to die from breast cancer than others. So that's a significant gap that we can look to close. And this is one tool, let's say, in our arsenal. Those patients who live in underserved or rural communities die at significantly higher rates than those who live in urban-based communities for the same disease. So again, how can we provide access to quality care for our rural Americans and leveraging virtual health to be able to do that?
Could you elaborate on the CVS and CTCA collaboration? What are some of the ins and outs of enrollment to that program?
Absolutely. So right now we are offering this as a pilot program in the Atlanta-based market alone, with plans to expand it with time. So right now it's for CTCA Atlanta-based patients, and it's a way for them, you know, once they're deemed eligible by their clinical staff and their home assessment and the medications that they're on, that they can consider moving into the home, consider the treatment moving into the home. So I would say certainly if there is an interest on the patient's perspective for such a program, we do have individuals in our Atlanta-based site who can provide more information. We're partnering with CVS and with Coram. We've helped with the training of the nurses to make sure that they are providing the appropriate oncology-based chemotherapy training and have the standards of care when moving to the home. They're a nationally based program, and they cover about 97% of the U.S. population. So we certainly wanted to make sure that as we're providing these options for our patients, that we're taking into account where they live and having them have the appropriate access.
Are there any nuances to providers for using this approach, or anything that they should really know when considering a patient for in-home infusions?
safety is paramount. And so, you know, not all patients can move to the home. Not all providers can just wave a wand and move to the home. This was absolutely a very long implementation process that was thought through because of the safety, the nature of the patients and the nature of the program. So by providing the remote patient monitoring, that's where the vital signs are monitored on a continuous basis, and the access to their medical oncologist through telehealth, that certainly has provided the opportunity to have those safety nets. But I would certainly say that if a provider is interested, the safety of the patient needs to be at the core of any type of program development.
Now, in terms of cost, how is that being navigated? Is it a factor that goes into consideration for in-home infusions?
So for the patients, they don't see a huge difference in cost, but it was in discussion with the payer. Right now, we have alignment with few payers, and we need that alignment beforehand. So not all patients may be eligible for the program. Depends on their insurance carrier, their payer. And there are a number of payers, you know, quite frankly, who are instituting, there are some medications, some chemotherapy agents that they're mandating in a lower cost of care setting. So they're mandating it happen not in the hospital and in a situation such as the home. And so this meets that criteria.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add regarding this topic?
You know, I would just say that as we're moving into, you know, virtual care, these are really important learnings that we have been able to garner. Certainly, virtual care has had a lot of time, if you will, in a pre-pandemic state. So the VA was involved heavily in telehealth and telemedicine and virtual care since the 1960s. So there's a lot of learnings that have been garnered over time. And really, it's been the relaxation of federal and state regulations more recently that has allowed telehealth and virtual care to really shine and to show that there's so much that can be garnered here and really be the beacon of hope to so many in need during the pandemic. And of course, we're hoping to make the case that a lot of the waivers that were put in place should be made permanent to continue the access to these programs in a post-pandemic state.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science summits and institutional perspectives in cancer webinars. For more updates on oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onclive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Onclive and at Onclive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at Onclive and Onclive State of the Science Summit, and follow our Onclive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Onclive on Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onclive on Air.